Have you ever been the victim of gossip? Has someone ever spread a lie about you to others? It's a terrible feeling, isn't it? But Pastor Lloyd Pulley says the solution to getting through it is patience.
You know, if you have that mentality, you've got a family problem or some issue that you're facing and you're frustrated because you can't fix it right now, you've got to learn to be patient. Even if someone thinks of you wrongly because you've been slandered, you got to be willing to ride that out. They might think of you wrongly for a year, but as you're faithfully consistent to continue, by the next year, they're going to go, you know what? That other person had a wrong assessment of you.
You are my sole provider. You are the Prince of Peace. You are my defender, and I want to worship.
A baseball pitcher throws a pitch high and tight in retaliation for what the opposing team did on the previous play. An employee is passed over for a raise and looks for avenues to get back at his employer. A gang of young people retaliate against their crosstown rivals. And our human nature demands revenge, doesn't it? But Jesus says to relinquish our rights. This is not an easy task, one that takes the supernatural strength of God to pull us through. Welcome to our Thursday edition of Bridging the Gap with Pastor Lloyd Pulley, where we're in the midst of a study, the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll return to Pastor Lloyd here in just a moment for the second half of his study entitled Turn the Other Cheek. Our scripture reference is Matthew 5, verses 38 through 42.
If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Wow. See, this really irks us because personal rights are very important to us. We're a nation aware of human rights, certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. We've got civil rights, women's rights, children's, workers, prisoners, minorities. Even there are people who want to press for sexual orientation, special rights for those with a particular sexual orientation. We are so filled with the idea of my personal rights that we sometimes forget something here. And what's forgotten, I believe, Jesus says it right here. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. No, again, what people misread into this, they picture you're walking down the street and someone says, give me that coat. Oh, sure, yeah, here, take it. And you can have my shirt too. No, that's robbery. That's not the same thing. Again, a crime has been committed. And, you know, if you let that go, then you know, someone else is going to be taken advantage of. You're not helping society. You're not being a good citizen by doing that. However, here is a situation. Someone is suing you. Now, he doesn't say legitimate or non-legitimate. We don't know. It could be a legitimate suit. Maybe they have a case against you and they want redress. You don't see it that way, and it's going now to the court. Now, the Bible already tells us that that certainly shouldn't happen between brothers in the church. Taking brothers to the godless courts when you have an issue against each other, you should have that settled among yourselves as Christians. What are you going before the godless judges about that? However, in many cases, there may be the points of law that need to be covered in that regard. And, you know, you have to be wise with that. But here is a situation where maybe there's a legitimate thing, or maybe it's not as legitimate, but they're trying to get a little bit more than is actually right. And, you know, it's largely right. You know that you wronged them to a certain degree. You owe them something, but you don't think you owe them that much. See, this is how we work, tit for tat, isn't it? It's like, well, I owe you, but I don't owe you that much. Right here, that's all I'm going to pay. And you never come to agreement on that. Well, here's the thing. This is how Jesus says to take care of it. Very simple, actually. You see, if you sit down with a person and you ask them, what do you think is fair? Find out what they really think is fair. And if they think what is fair is not fair to you, very simple. Give them not only what they think is fair, but more. In a spirit of kindness and a spirit of keeping peace.
Well, I don't know about that. I just, you know, it's not right.
No, it may not be exactly right. But there's something that you will gain from it as a believer. See, now again, I'm not talking to non-believers. Non-believers is going to be stupid. This won't even make sense. Why would I bother doing that? But to a believer, you see, you've got something much more to gain. Your peace of mind. The fact that you were generous and gracious, you'll sleep well at night knowing that you weren't tit for tat on this. You just like, you wanted to go the extra space with that person. Reminds me of the man who bought a home, moved in, and on the moving day, his neighbor came from next door. Knocks on the door real hard. He opens the door. Hey, how you? Yeah, I'm your neighbor. Oh, okay, I'm so... Well, listen, I just want you to know you just bought yourself a lawsuit here. Really? What's the problem? He goes, well, the previous owner here, you know, he built this fence and it's 2 feet on my property. I've been wrangling with him for months and actually it's going into a year and finally I'm tired of it. I'm going to just take it to the court, so I just wanted you to know. What a nice greeting, huh? Well, the man who bought the home was a Christian and said, well, you don't have to take it to court. I'll move the fence. And the neighbor was like, what? You'll move the fence? He goes, yeah, if it's wrong, if it should be where it should be, I mean, whatever it takes, whatever expense, you know, I'll take care of it. I'll make sure it's right. Well, this totally disarmed the animosity of this neighbor. And after talking about it a little bit, thinking about it, he told the guy, he says, you know what? It's no big deal. Let it stay where it is. Isn't it true that it's often not really the issue with self? What the issue with self is being right. Isn't it true? It's being right. I'm in the right, and that's what matters. It's the principle that matter. You know? This is our flesh. And so instead of having the principle, I want the right thing done here. Nothing personal. They say that all the time. Nothing personal. It's the right thing. You know, here's the thing. As a Christian, you would be wise to make peace with that person, and even more so. You're suing me from... Now, in those days, this sounds strange, suing you for a coat. Now, who's going to sue for a coat or a tunic? The idea there is that if you were very poor and you had nothing to pay a debt, the creditor would actually have the right to take your garment. But he was required by law to give it back to you, according to Exodus 22, before it got dark, lest you got cold at night and then you cried out to God and God would not be happy with that creditor for being so insensitive. So you had the right, but there was a limit to it. And so here, someone is probably stretching their right a little bit more than they should. They're taking advantage of you. They are. But instead of trying to fight that and in a spirit of animosity, and you know what? I've seen neighbors battle about a particular thing, a tree overhanging the fence, or the leaves that are falling, or the weeds that I'm getting weed seeds from their yard. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that can irk the self, that holy, exalted self on the throne. But as a Christian, this ought not to be. Let it go. You know, make peace on this. This is what Jesus is essentially saying. This is how a believer lives. Third illustration. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now here it's even more interesting because there's a willingness to sacrifice your liberty here. Roman law dominated Israel at that time. The law was set up that the soldiers who were carrying their packs, you know, and all of their equipment, they had the right to enlist some citizen right there. Hey, you, come. And by the law, they could take you. They could make you walk 1 mile carrying their stuff. That was just the law. It's the way the law was written. It's, you know, you're under the domination of Rome. They hated it. They begrudged it, but that was the law. So Jesus says, you know, if that happens to you, if someone pulls the old law on you, carry this for me. He says, go with them an extra mile. What happens here? You see, it would be humiliating. It would be a great inconvenience. But they were subjects. They had to. But here's the problem. We have to follow the law too. But how do we do it? Do we do it begrudgingly? Do we fight all the way? You know, the building inspector comes in and says, well, you know, I'm sorry, but that pipe's got to come out. It was the wrong pipe. That's this and that, and, you know, and this is the law. And you think, you know, he just wants a bribe or something, and, you know, you're frustrated. Come on, it's no big deal. You can't see the point of it, but hey, it's in the code books. We just had a situation on the other end with the school where they finished all the walls and the bathrooms, and everything was set to code, but they had to make a change in the ceiling. When they made the change in the ceiling, it required a different pipe in the walls, and we had to rip all of that stuff out and do it all over again. And what was once just a one or two plumber job became a get five and six plumbers in there and just, you know, round the clock, fix this thing. It was huge. Now, we could have fought that, and but the problem was this. This is the law. This is the code. We have to do what we have to do. And the problem is we tend to want to do that begrudgingly, and so we're complaining. You know, I can imagine that someone that might be picked out by the Roman soldier, you, come, walk, carry my stuff. You'd be carrying it like with this attitude, you know, okay, you know, it's 1/2 mile. Is that enough? Come on, I got business to do. And you're frustrated and you're angry. And, you know, by the time you give him his pack back, you want to kick him, you know, but of course you'll get in trouble. So you go back and you're telling all your friends what a miserable day you've had. You know, this is flesh. This is the self on the throne. But here's how you deal with that. You know, the best thing to do with that remnant of flesh and self that's in you as a Christian, because there is still that remnant of the old man there, is don't give him any pleasure. Just starve him out. How do you do that? By love, by going the extra mile. So now you get to the end of the mile and the guy goes, okay, well, it's all I can compel you to go. He goes, you know what, let me take you another mile. It's a heavy pack. You know, you're working hard. I can carry it another mile for you. And when that soldier does a double take, like, what kind of a person are you? What planet did you come from? You now have an opportunity to tell him something about the God you believe in. You see, you have exhibited traits that you're free from self-concern, self-interest, selfishness. And boy, you're free. See, if you treat this as a law that now you've got to follow this code and you're going to do this begrudgingly, haven't you missed the point? Yes, you've missed it. Because this is about a willing heart, an eager desire to be free from the constraints and the tyranny of self. And then, of course, the following one, the last one, he says, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now, some have slavishly felt that they're compelled to, someone comes up and asks them, even though they know it's not legitimate, they know it's a request that might be used for gambling debts, it might be for drugs. How do you handle that? Well, you know, if you follow it slavishly by the letter, you've missed the point. The point is, if there is a need, if someone asks you for help, and it's within your power to help them, and you know it's legitimate help that will really help them, well, then do it. You know, but we learn from a very early age, after Dada and Mama, it's mine. It's mine. That word, mine. No one's going to touch my stuff. You know, I worked hard for this. You know, and now here's the thing here. The Bible tells us, as a principle, if anybody does not work, neither let him eat. Now, what if you're in that position where you're being requested to give sustenance to somebody you know that is lazy and indolent, not working, not being faithful to take care of themselves or their families? How do you respond to that? Well, if you know that they are that way, you know what? It is not helping them by giving them something to eat. You're actually perpetuating a situation and you're not helping them at all. So the spirit of it would actually tell you, no. If you don't work, you don't eat. Bottom line. But here, this is obviously something that's a legitimate thing. And also, if someone were asking you to pay off a gambling debt, would it be helping them truly to give them that, and then they're going to hit all their other friends up and they're going to perpetuate this gambling problem because it's an addiction? Or are you going to help them get some help, which would be much better? That would be true help. Someone asks you for some money out in, you know, the street. Now, you've got to be wise, because there are some professionals out there. And in fact, the thing that's in the back of most people's minds when you talk about this subject is, well, Pastor, you know, if I follow that, won't I be manipulated? Won't people use this to manipulate me and kind of turn this around and say, well, you know, it says right here in the Bible that you should give to those who ask. And, you know, I'm asking, so you're a Christian. I'll tell you, if someone ever came to me that way, I would laugh and say, see ya, because it's missing the spirit of it. See, if you're truly walking in this way, walking in love, you can't be manipulated. That's the whole point. Because you went an extra mile. You didn't have to, and he didn't manipulate you. You chose willingly to do it. You didn't have to give them the extra coat. You did it willingly. You didn't have to turn the other cheek, but you said, no, I'm not going to let self dominate me in this. You know, I'm going to be free from this. And you know what? I'm not going to take it personal. You know, even if they're slandering against you and they're lying about you, you know, lie is like a fish out of water. And eventually it'll flap itself to death. Problem is, we're impatient. We think we've got to fix the situation right now. You know, if you have that mentality, you've got a family problem or, you know, a work issue or some issue that you're facing and you're frustrated because you can't fix it right now, the temptation to try to fix it right now causes more damage sometimes. You've got to learn to be patient. Even if someone thinks of you wrongly because you've been slandered, you got to be willing to ride that out. You start defending yourself, it's a bad mistake many times. They might think of you wrongly for a year, but as you're faithfully consistent to continue, by the next year they're going to go, you know what, that other person had a wrong assessment of you. Why didn't you defend yourself? Why didn't you say something? You know what? It doesn't interest you. You're not worried about yourself. So you're not going to be manipulated by some, you know, two-bit con in this then. You know, you're not going to be manipulated to do something that's wrong. In fact, you're free to choose to do what's best for people. Someone asks you for money and, you know that their condition and how they're doing, they're probably going to spend it on alcohol. You know, let me get you a meal. You want a meal? I'll get you a meal. Take a little more time, a little more inconvenience perhaps. Easier just to throw money and get them out of your and that's what panhandlers hope for. Now, you got to be careful, too, because there are other panhandlers that are professionals. You know, they live in $200,000-$300,000 homes, drive Mercedes, get on all their raggedy clothes, get out there, and they work the crowds. And they're good. Now, this creates a problem here, though. When you start trying to figure out which is legitimate and which isn't, inevitably you're going to run into some problems there. Some things are not that easy. So how do you err? Here's what you do. A wise old pastor once said to me, better to be deceived 100 times than live a life of suspicion. Now, if it's obvious it's a scam, you know, you don't fall victim to that. If it's obvious, you know, usually you can tell the panhandlers, you know, if they're really smooth and they're witty and they're sharp and they're in the top of their game, they're probably professionals. Because if they're that good, they could get a job. You know, some of those guys could talk the spots off a leopard. You know, if they're that good, believe me, they could sell anything. They don't need to be out there panhandling. They're probably doing quite well, probably much better than you. But, you know, some legitimate needs out there, some legitimate situations, and you might even be deceived then. Okay, well, so you might be deceived a few times, but better to err on the side of grace. This is why I don't have to be the judge and the jury on this. You know what? God is going to answer for it. I give it in a good heart, and the Lord will deal with it. Even if you have been deceived, even if you have been taken advantage of, you don't have to stew over that. Because you know what? It's in the Lord's hands. The Lord is going to take care of it. You're free. See, and this is essentially what Jesus has in mind for you. Freeing you up from all of the tyranny and the ways that self just makes you unhappy and worried and frustrated and angry and bitter and vengeful and unforgiving. All of the ways self just tweaks us a little bit at a time until by the time we get to be an old person, we're just a snotty old cuss. And we don't want to hear nothing from nobody, no how, you know. And this is what we become after a while when you let self dominate you. But there's something so sweet and gracious about a person who continually lets the Lord be God. It gives that space for the Lord. And essentially, this is what it is, and this is what it boils down to. Now, I shared with the previous services my Star Trek episode, and I think it fits well here, too. There's an episode of Star Trek years ago that I saw, where Captain Kirk and the Federation had come to this very docile planet, very peaceful, simple folk, country folk. And the Klingons had also come. They're arch enemies and very vicious, warlike people. And so each of them are trying to gain sway to control this planet and gain the favor of these people. Well, the Klingons find that they're not gaining any headway, so they employ their methods. They start intimidating. They start taking them by force. They start killing them. And of course, Captain Kirk is trying to win them by nice and favor and thinks that he'll try to help protect them against these Klingons. So they're both like vying for this planet, and finally it gets to be a point where the violence is so escalated that the Klingons and the Federation are now fighting and killing each other. When that happens, these poor country folk say, "That's it. We're taking charge here." And they're like, "What? Who are you? You got no power. You're simple country folk." What they didn't know was these simple country folk were actually superior beings that had just the persona of living a very small pastoral life, but they were pure energy, and that they were so far above, you know, the plane of these other guys that they stopped all of their weapons from firing. They controlled the ships completely. They stopped every violence from taking place. And they basically asked both of the people to leave and said, "Leave us alone. We didn't mind. You know, you thought you were killing us. You weren't killing us. You know, you weren't doing anything to us. You weren't hurting us all." Now, I thought of that. You know, of course, that may not do anything for you because you're not Star Trek fans. But what it does do is, in this sense, if we see ourselves as believers filled with the Spirit, living on a different plane, we're not scrapping for little pieces of trinkets here and there and little pieces of food and fighting our neighbors for this and that. We're living beyond that. This world is just temporary. We're passing through. We've got higher goals in mind. We want to affect eternity. It is so freeing to live this way. And this is what the Lord has in mind for you. So if you're still fighting for scraps, striving with your neighbor, always fretful and bitter about what somebody did to you, I got good news for you. You yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he begins the transformation process. And maybe you've already come to the Lord. Maybe you've already opened your heart to him and believed on that sacrificial gift of salvation. But you haven't been yielded to the Spirit. See, there's not much difference between a Christian and a non-Christian if the Christian is not filled with the Spirit, if he's not yielded to the Spirit. Because he's still going to see self on the throne. And he's going to still make a lot of selfish decisions, and he's still going to have problems with his neighbor. We need to be under the influence, the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to love. And Jesus is pointing out something that might just hit our heart and go, you know what? That reveals that I'm not quite there. Because I'll tell you, one of the biggest problems in the church, it's apathy, complacency, a smug, self-centered, I'm okay, I'm not that bad kind of mentality. Keep pressing on. See, this Sermon on the Mount should help you to see yourself enough to not be comfortable. Hopefully you feel uncomfortable when you see how you stand up against this, so that you'll be inclined to seek him more. Lord, I want more. I want more of you, more love, more power. Fill me with your Spirit. Because if we're going to make a difference in our generation, we've got to be changed. We've got to be altered. And only the Lord can do that. So I pray for those of you who haven't received the Lord Jesus, now's the time. Don't continue to let self dominate you and take you all the way to the eternity of hell and separation from God. Why is that? Why would you let that happen? You have the free gift of salvation Jesus can give to you if you open your heart to him. And for those of you who have already trusted him, why are you letting sin dominate you? Why are you letting self call the shots? Dethrone self. Repent. Turn from that and let the Lord be on the throne. Let him guide you. Let him empower you.
Well, we usually end our broadcast with a quick comment about Pastor Lloyd's message. I have a feeling those last few words Lloyd spoke pretty much speak for themselves. Well, this has been Bridging the Gap with Pastor Lloyd Pulley and a series of messages highlighting the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we're excited to tell you that you can now tune in to Bridging the Gap using the free Calvary Chapel Old Bridge app for your iPhone or Android smartphone. Just search for Calvary Chapel Old Bridge on your App Store and download the app. And then you'll always have Bridging the Gap right at your fingertips. We'd like to invite you to join Pastor Lloyd for the Adventure of a Lifetime, a tour of Israel coming up March 4th through the 14th of 2014. You'll visit many of the places we read about in God's Word, and it's guaranteed to be an experience that will change your life and change the way you read the Bible. For all of the information you need, just download the tour brochure by going to ccob.org. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, and you'll have the time of your life. Again, all the details are at ccob.org. And now let's catch up with Pastor Lloyd once again, along with our media director, Carol Ascaros, to share a little more insight on today's message.
Today, Pastor Lloyd, the passage that we're looking at, if someone compels you to go 1 mile, go with him that second mile. If he asks of you and wants to borrow, do not turn away. How is it that we can do this? How can we obey the Lord in this and not be taken advantage of, not be walked all over, if we're so willing to go above and beyond in every case? Don't we have a natural need to sort of protect ourselves? And what do you think?
Well, there's a certain element where we do and we should, because we are looking out for our families. I'm not going to let somebody take advantage of my family. At the same time, you know, in the context that he's giving it, someone is claiming a right over you to a certain degree, and he's being legal. You know, you have to go with me a mile, like the Roman soldiers. You go with me a mile. You're willing to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go beyond what's expected because, look, you need some help carrying this. And I think that essential, it's winning, because you now are freed from the legal constraint of it, and you're not sitting there in bitterness of having been made to go a mile. You're now taking charge. Someone who loves can't be manipulated. Because when you—
Wait, say that again, though. That's—
You know what? If you love, it's impossible to be manipulated. You know, people get manipulated to help people out of guilt. They get manipulated out of fear. They get manipulated even out of pride, you know, the snob appeal. But, you know, you can't get it manipulated when you choose to do the thing that's beyond what's expected of you, because you have chosen, you want to be that person.
Wow, that's awesome.
And now you're not manipulated. You're choosing.
Well, thank you, Lloyd. We also would like to invite you to see and hear Pastor Lloyd teach in person next week. He'll be teaching at the Ocean Grove Bible Hour next Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the Bishop James Tabernacle, next to the Great Auditorium in Ocean Grove, New Jersey. It's a great chance to hear Pastor Lloyd, meet him in person, and enjoy a challenging message from God's Word. That's Monday, August 12th through Saturday, August 17th at 9 a.m. at the Bishop James Tabernacle in Ocean Grove. We'll see you there. Forgiveness. Easy, right? Wrong. But we're told to do so by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at those key verses tomorrow here on Bridging the Gap, presented by Bridging the Gap Ministries. God, you're amazing.